Building Bridges, your community and labor report, produced and hosted by Mimi Rosenberg and Ken Nash. I'm Mimi Rosenberg.
And I'm Ken Nash.
Later on Building Bridges, Howard Schultz and Starbucks, a history of union busting. But first, did the Army Corps of Engineers Navigation Channel, Mr. Go, help sink New Orleans?
But oh my Lord, didn't it, oh my Lord, didn't it rain? Oh, didn't it rain, children? Rain, oh my Lord, didn't it, oh my Lord, didn't it rain? Well, rain for the day, for the night without stopping. Lord, I'm clapping, the rain stopped dropping. Knock at the window, knock at the door. Can't you take on more? Don't cry, no, no, you're full of sin. God got the key, you can't get in. Listen to the rain. Just listen to the rain. Just listen to the rain. Just listen.
Goodness. I was going to say she fires me up, but we're talking about water. But Mahalia Jackson and Didn't It Rain, and I am still haunted, and I wish the government were as haunted by the reality of what happened to the people of the Gulf Coast. And I was going to say as a result of Hurricane Katrina, but we're going to find out a lot more about what happened and how things were exacerbated relative to Hurricane Katrina. Still hung out to dry after Hurricane Katrina, Gulf Coast residents filed a groundbreaking lawsuit against the Army Corps of Engineers in federal court, claiming that the Corps amplified the destructive effects of Hurricane Katrina by building a poorly designed navigation channel adjacent to the city. The plaintiff's lead attorney, Pierce O'Donnell, joins us to discuss the claim and the immense importance of this litigation. So we're particularly grateful for your being with us.
We're in our third day of trial in New Orleans, and we're still standing, and we're excited about a three-year ordeal to get to court, and things are going well so far.
Pierce, did I explain the claim correctly?
And yes, in the late 50s and 60s, and part of America's big infrastructure push, the Army Corps of Engineers built a 76-mile man-made ship channel from New Orleans to the Gulf as an alternative to the Mississippi River for ships, you know, container ships, cargo ships. It was never needed, and it became the greatest environmental disaster, maybe rivaling the Everglades. And it was a direct cause of the flooding of half of New Orleans and all of St. Bernard Parish during Hurricane Katrina. The Corps knew before they built it, while they built it, and for 50 years after they built it, that this waterway through 50 miles of pristine marshland would bring salt water from the Gulf into the marshlands, kill the marshlands. Now, why is that important? Well, those of us who don't live in coastal areas may not know this, but cypress trees, tupelo trees, grasses, bushes, shrubs, rosacane, all these things, that vegetation that inhabits the area around New Orleans, was nature's protection. Better than any flood wall or levee you could build was Mother Nature's vegetation. And the Mr. Go, Mississippi River Gulf Outlet's called the Mr. Go shorthand, destroyed all this within a couple of years. Then the channel they built, which was 650 feet wide, morphed through erosion, which they knew was going to happen, to 3,700 feet. And during Katrina, with no wetlands to protect, to knock down the surge and the waves, and with a hurricane highway, a channel 3,000 feet wide, Water comes off the Gulf through Lake Bourne and regenerates into waves 9 feet high, surge much higher, and it hit those levees like a hydraulic cannonball, a roto-rooter, and that's why the flooding occurred. And we've been in court 3 years trying to get a trial, and we finally have one, and we think we're going to prove that the drowning of New Orleans was both predicted and preventable.
Now, one of the things is that really there are as many as 400,000 other plaintiffs, really, who could be impacted by this lawsuit. So tell us more about who the plaintiffs specifically are and what kind of relief one could hope to expect from this suit.
Yes, there are six people who have brought suit. They each live in the three affected areas, in New Orleans East, Lower Ninth Ward, and St. Bernard Parish. They're what we call bellwether or representative plaintiffs. We picked them because they had representative stories and that they lived in the three areas we wanted to prove were flooded. They lost their homes, and one person lost his office building for his business. And behind them are 400,000 other residents, both homeowners, apartment owners, businesses, universities, the state of Louisiana, City of New Orleans, St. Bernard Parish, the Public Utility, Entergy, a whole host of different types of plaintiffs who filed claims with the Corps. And they're looking very much with anticipation of the outcome of this case. While technically it's not a class action, the effect of us winning is it binds the government of the United States and makes them liable to anybody else who lived in these three parts of the area that I've described. So it's a very important case for everyone. It's being very closely watched.
Now, I assume the government, their standard defense would be, aside from various procedural issues, that the devastation of the region was caused by the hurricane itself. It wasn't the channel, no matter how the channel was dug, etc. Just tell us more about their arguments and what our response would be.
The government says that Katrina was a severe hurricane. It was not. It was high Category 2 when it hit New Orleans. It was Category 5 in the Gulf, of course. And that with or without this Mississippi River Gulf outlet, the same catastrophic flooding would have occurred in the same areas. In other words, that Mr. Goh didn't have anything to do with it, and the hurricane itself is the reason. We think we're going to debunk that theory through testimony that shows that the Mr. Goh, with its destruction of the wetlands and its widened channel, added 3 feet of surge that would not have existed and 9 feet of waves that would not have existed. And those 3 feet of surge and 9 feet of waves spelled the difference between a little bit of flooding, a foot or so. They have that in New Orleans every time it rains, many places. It spelled the difference between just what we call mere localized flooding versus catastrophic flooding where the water gets to 3, 4, 5 feet, up to 20 feet in your house, and your house doesn't survive that. So we think that the government's theory is wrong. They have lived this lie ever since they built the Mr. Goh. They have an institutional blind spot about the impact of the Mississippi River Gulf outlet on storm flooding. Think about it. Before 1958, you had all these wetlands, and there was no direct route for water from the Gulf of Mexico to get to the heart of urban New Orleans except through the meandering Mississippi River, not a very good way to get storm surge. But when you create a direct, what's been called hurricane highway, 38 feet deep, 650 feet wide, which goes to 3,000 feet because of bank erosion, you've created a straight shot to New Orleans, and that's exactly what happened.
And I understand that Sherwood Gagliano, who's an expert in geology and coastal environment, has already testified that the Corps presumably was aware of various research and prepared a report in 1988 that mentioned the possibility of catastrophic damage to urban areas. Is that correct?
Yes, our leadoff witness, our Ichiro, we like to say, in our lineup, was Dr. Gagliano, a 75-year-old renowned coastal scientist, one of the most distinguished people in the world in studying coastal environments. And he started his professional career doing reports, believe it or not, for the Army Corps as a consultant and local government and later EPA. And he eerily chronicled, beginning in the early 1970s, the loss of the wetlands, the widening of the channel, a funnel effect, a and he stated that there would be catastrophic flooding, I think a 1973 report. Every one of his reports from 1970s, early 70s, up to Katrina were given to the Corps. Some he wrote for the Corps. And Dr. Gagliano is the most knowledgeable person alive today about the Mr. Go and why it was, as he said, one of the greatest man-made disasters to the environment ever. And he gave riveting testimony on Monday morning about what happened. And he also went through the Corps reports, including the 1988 report, the 1994 report, both of which raised the specter of catastrophic flooding from this waterway. And I asked him in his testimony, I said, sir, was this catastrophe predicted? He said, yes, I and others predicted it. Were there feasible mitigation measures to prevent it? Absolutely. I recommend them for 40 years. And therefore, sir, was this catastrophe that wiped out the 35th largest city in the United States preventable? And he said, yes, tragically, yes. And I think his testimony was very, very powerful as the first witness.
Pierce, why were you so interested in pursuing this litigation?
Well, it was like a moment of temporary insanity. temporary insanity. My first wife was from New Orleans. I was married there in 1970. I went there for 24 years, twice a year. I have a very special affection for the people of Greater New Orleans and St. Bernard Parish. A group of trialers invited me down right after the airport opened in January of 06 to help them assess the situation and see what we could do. My specialty is big, complex litigation around the country. Came back, took 2 months to write a report for the group, and we decided that we'd use the Mr. Go as the real reason for the flooding of most of New Orleans. We picked the Mr. Go because it's a navigation channel, not a flood control project. And one of the things we had to overcome was immunity. The government gets Congress passed a statute in 1928, which gave the Army Corps an immunity. That means you can't get sued. It's the legal equivalent of a get-out-of-jail-free card, the monopoly. And they gave an immunity that said that if they build flood walls and levees and they fail, too bad, citizens who are property is drowned or lives are lost. And so I was aware of that, and so we crafted a strategy to go to court. I recommended this strategy. A group of 20 law firms has come together from California to Louisiana to Florida. My view, a constellation of the top trialers in the country. All doing it pro bono. Oh, yeah, if we win, Congress might give us a fee, but we're not counting on it. We spent $6 million of our own money, probably closer to $7 million now, for experts. The Corps has its own cadre of experts. Most of the water development experts in the country are on their payroll one way or another. We found six distinguished experts in Holland, at Berkeley, LSU, Boston University, who are in New Orleans the next 4 weeks, telling the court why the Mr. Go destroyed New Orleans. So I guess because I had an affection for the region, and I really felt that these people needed the best representation they could get. You know, nobody likes a lawyer until they need one, and plaintiffs' lawyers are often maligned. George Bush tried to make great political hay with that. But the truth of the matter is these people are the most vulnerable people of all. They were lied to by their government. We're building safe levees. They even issued national flood insurance saying, go, another arm of the government. And it all turned out to be a huge lie. And these people are devastated. I mean, you should meet my clients, the most wonderful people in the world. And their lives were shattered. What are you doing? You're 75, you have a house, and you paid for the mortgage, and you rent out part of the house for rental income, and you lose all that. And you still have to pay your mortgage. And you still got to go somewhere else to live. And this story is writ large in hundreds of thousands of lives in New Orleans. So, to be frank with you, I did it because I thought it was the right thing to do, and truth has to speak to power.
And you are doing that. And actually, in this case, you're speaking to a judge rather than a jury. And
yes.
There are, you know, these are not easy cases to bring. There's a lot of ways that the government shields itself specifically from these cases. So I think you have a lot of challenges ahead
of you. Well, we overcame the biggest challenge. They have two immunities, the flood statute and a sovereign immunity. They can't be sued if they're exercising, quote, discretion, unquote, in a social, with regard to political, economic, or social policy. They've told this judge that everything they did from the time they thought about this waterway in the 30s to the planning of it in the 40s to the construction of it in the 50s, and the operation of it in the 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, up to Katrina, every single thing they did was discretionary and therefore immune. That was our biggest hurdle, and we overcame that on March 20th, defeating their fourth summary judgment. So, yes, you're right. I mean, I like to tell my friends that suing the United States is like the most formidable foe. They make the laws. They print the money. The case is held in a building called the United States Courthouse. But notwithstanding that Herculean task, I believe that this judge, a fair-minded, brilliant judge, who wants to do the right thing by both the taxpayers who would pay the bill and the victims who were lives were destroyed by this hurricane flooding caused by the Mr. Goh, he's going to do the right thing. He's read thousands of pages of expert reports before we start. He's read thousands of pages of deposition, pretrial testimony, and now he's devoting 4 weeks in a packed courtroom to hearing the evidence and rendering a decision probably in mid-late summer. So, yeah, the government's it's a tough adversary, but I have a wonderful team of lawyers and paralegals and support staff.
And I think the plaintiffs have a wonderful lawyer. And what relief can we expect from this? Because I know this is going to be a winning suit. And frankly, many of us who have been down to the Gulf Coast, we've paid a great deal of attention to the issues there at this radio station. And we absolutely know there hasn't been sufficient, and we want relief for the people down there. What relief can they get from this lawsuit?
Well, I think the most important thing is we have to win and get what's called a judgment, something entered into the court record that says the government of the United States is liable for its negligence with regard to the Mississippi River Gulf outlet, with regard to flooding in these three areas. And hundreds of thousands of people will then be in line. Now, what happens? We're already prepared. We're organized. We're going to Congress. We're going to the Justice Department, a new Justice Department, as we've noticed. And a new president, and we are going to say, look, these people have been wronged. And the money they sent for road home recovery is a trickle. Most everyone didn't get any money. The money they got, like the money that one of my clients got, she got $80,000. Well, that's not enough to rebuild your home. And so we need money. We need a stimulus, if you will, for this region. But this is compensation. It is not charity. And that's the most important thing. And, you know, when your government does you wrong, when a corporation does you wrong, when a neighbor does you wrong, you have a right to go to court and redress your grievances. It's the most democratic thing we have along with voting. So we expect that we go to Congress and we ask Congress and the president, do for the people of New Orleans and St. Bernard what you did for the victims of the Teton Dam disaster in 1976. What you did for the victims of swine flu, what you did for the victims of the Cerro Grande fire in New Mexico in 2000, all were caused by government negligence. And Presidents Ford on the one hand and Clinton on the other in the Congress did the right thing. They said, we're not going to make these people sue us. We're going to pass legislation to set up a compensation fund to be done administratively, not through years of litigation. You can't litigate 400,000 claims. The grandchildren will be dead before they're adjudicated. The courts will be overwhelmed. Why the President Bush and the Congress did not do this for Katrina victims is a very, very unanswered question beyond my pay grade. But we hope to take this victory, go to Congress and the President and say, okay, now pass a multi-billion dollar compensation bill. This will stimulate New Orleans, but more importantly, it will compensate people, at least partially, for the damage done by their government, which they knew was going to happen. Now, the government may, if it perpetuates the Bush approach, take us to the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals for a year of appellate argument, and then to the Supreme Court of the United States for another year or two of appellate argument. And we may be facing the 8th anniversary of Katrina before there's a legal resolution. This case never should have had to go to the courts. It has gone to the courts. And if we prevail, as we pray we will, then it's time for the legislative and executive branch to take over. The judiciary will have done its job. So we have a long-term strategy.
I think you've just given me the most effective closing argument I could expect to hear. Deliver that to the judge, win this litigation. And Pierce O'Donnell, thank you for spending some time with us, particularly as you race off to court. And we'll pay close attention to this suit. I'm glad you brought
it. I'm glad you're covering this. It's really a tribute to your station that you pay so much attention, because unfortunately a lot of Americans have contracted Katrina fatigue.
Not hardly, and thank you again for doing your work. We'll keep in touch with you, and I have been speaking with Pierce O'Donnell, a litigant for a whole lot of folks in the Gulf area who have still been left hung out to dry.
Now Robert Greenwald's Brave New Films presents Howard Schultz and Starbucks, A History of Union Busting.
We're not in the business of filling bellies. We're in the business of filling souls.
Oh, now, come on. No, wait a minute. That's too... But this is a company.
This is how
this
we feel.
This is a corporation.
Okay.
Come on.
If a guy really wants a free choice, why would you spend so much money and so much effort and time to... Stop the rights of workers when you're really just trying to produce a good cup of coffee, aren't you?
I was working in a Chicago store when the first Chicago store in Logan Square went public with their union affiliation. And when that happened, immediately there were notices put up at my store. The manager said the union is just a bunch of anarchists and communists. They want to destroy the government.
My district manager came into our store, pulled me off the floor. She starts asking me how I've contacted workers at other stores, if there's anything I'd like to talk with her about. It's an interrogation. I refused to answer her questions. You know, I told her that I asked her if she'd ever heard of the National Labor Relations Act, and she said no. And at that point, she pulled out termination papers and told me I was being fired.
The union-busting attorney didn't really interact with the workers a lot. What they did was trained management how to deal with us. And he's got millions to put in it. That firm you're talking about is Akin and Gump. And the attorney is Dan Nash.
And they're a union-busting law firm. And he's really good at what he does.
but also it gave me, Jeff, and quite a few other reps around here a heck of an education, how to deal with things, what to look for. It was great. Thank you again, Dan.
So it was lies about the union to paint the union as this horrible group that was from the outside, not made up of the workers within, and was out to get us.
As employees of a company, you want to be valued and appreciated.
Howard also had an incident, which is public record, on a HR person that was forced to throw applications from anyone that had ever worked a union job in their life in the garbage can. And when she refused to do it, they terminated her. I think that the Free Choice Act will make it a little easier for people.
When the Employee Free Choice Act passes, places like Starbucks will organize. They can build up some retirement, get some health benefits, better family life. So it will make a difference in many places, including Starbucks.
But for a company that claims to be socially conscious, all I can say is shame. Shame on you, Mr. Schultz.
Well, this has been Building Bridges, your community and labor report with Mimi Rosenberg.
And Ken Nash. And log on to our new website at www.buildingbridgesradio.org.